This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Gene and Chris in the Paracast, exploring a new generation of paranormal researchers, featuring Colin Schneider for the Crypto Kid. Chris?
We're starting to get into some of your own personal experiences going out into the field and investigating reports. I'm sure at your young and tender age, you haven't had a chance to get out there and do too many at this point in time compared to someone like myself or a Stan Gordon, who, by the way, we just had on the show here a few shows ago. And Stan is like you. Stan, when I got involved 25 years ago, Stan was one of those people that really I kind of modeled my approach after and have just off the charts respect for. And he's been very instrumental and a real hero for me as a 60-year-old guy who got involved in this at a fairly late age compared to John Greenwald, let's say, back in the mid-90s. He was 14, 15 when he got involved. I was 35. So we start to develop as we get more familiar with going out into the field. We start to develop kind of a methodology, sort of a bedside manner, as I call it. Looking at your experience up to this point, what do you feel are your strengths as an investigator, being as young as you are, and what are some of the possible downsides, some of the stumbling blocks, the things that get in the way because of your tender age of 16. So what are the pluses of being that age, and what are the minuses of being that age going out into the field in real time?
Well, I think the biggest plus, honestly, is that I was published at 15, and I have been published, I think, 10 times since, within a year. So, I mean, that looks really good on a sending out to colleges. That looks really good. So that's definitely a big plus. But concerning the field, I think that one of the biggest pluses is that once you talk to researchers, once you kind of get this relationship between researcher and younger upcoming researcher, it's this really great friendship almost. And I work with people when I talk to just local researchers, they're like, you know him? I'm not trying to brag, but partially because of my age, it's helped me become friends with like Nick Redfern or Ken Gerhard or Stan Gordon and really work with them and hang out with them. And they help me in every way possible. And it's definitely really, really neat. And I don't think that it would be as, I don't know. I don't think it would be there as much if I was a middle-aged man getting into the field, because I would already have this like life experience that would have helped me with research. Now, I think one of the biggest downsides is definitely when I mention that I'm an active researcher in this field, I get a lot of, well, aren't you too young? Or they treat me like I've only watched a lot of Mountain Monsters and Finding Bigfoot, and they just expect me to not know anything. And that's a little frustrating. It's definitely an obstacle that I've had to overcome. And I think a definite other obstacle is it hasn't been terribly easy getting myself out into the field as a known researcher. I mean, I go to lots of conferences, and I definitely became a face that a lot of people who go to them regularly recognize, but I wasn't seen as a researcher as much as just a young fan. So it was definitely challenging to do so. And what really helped me in that aspect was definitely working with Stan Gordon. And Stan, whenever I go to a conference with him, if there was a person that I hadn't met, Stan would grab me and introduce me to them and have me share some of my research and whatever. So he definitely has helped with getting me looked at less as just a kid and more as a researcher. But what also has definitely helped is Jonathan Downs. I'm not sure if either of you are familiar with who he is.
Oh, yeah.
He's a UK cryptozoologist. He runs the Center for Fortean Zoology, which is the biggest cryptozoological organization in the world. And I had heard of them. They were like this legendary group, and I thought it was just a handful of people that were part of it, like almost the Knights of the Round Table, but for cryptozoology.
They're bigger than that.
Right. So once I started getting in the field, I learned that you can join. So I joined, and just like a month after I paid a couple bucks to be a member and get the newsletter or whatever, I get this email from John Downs, and I'm like, oh my god, because he was another one of those talking heads that I saw on like every other episode of Monster Quest, and it always made me chuckle because he looked like Hagrid from Harry Potter. And so I read his email, and he just wanted to say hello, introduce himself, and he was interested in working with younger cryptozoologists because he is constantly working on the future of the group. And he says that he's afraid that if something ever happens to him, there won't be anyone to pick the group back up.
Right. Well, it's the same in ufology. It's the same in many fringe investigatory and research type organizations, and especially in ufology. You go to a UFO conference, the average age is in the mid to upper 60s, which is a little scary.
Right. I always joke that I'm outnumbered in the age field.
Oh, yeah.
But John has become this friend of mine, this really great friend that we chat pretty much every day, not just about cryptids and whatnot, but just about life, the universe, and everything, and just whatever. And he like Stan, he also really pushes me to do research, to write more articles. He was the person who gave me my first publication. My first publication was on the Ohio Dogman, and it was in the Animals and Men journal for the Center for Fortean Zoology. So he was that person that really gave me my first leg up into the field and being that an active.
Well, it took
researcher.
You seriously, not as right. just a kid that may have a passing, fascination, but he took you seriously.
Right. And, you know, that means the world to me from having that come from someone like Stan and someone like John that are internationally recognized as some of the top researchers in not just cryptozoology, but the field of Fortean as a whole.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Cause both John and Stan, they're interested in everything, and they go out on all sorts of different cases. Their particular fascination for Jonathan is crypto reports, but both him and Stan are open for anything, really. And they have an incredible amount of experience investigating all any number of things.
Exactly. I mean, in science, there's that saying, we stand on the shoulders of giants, implying that the work that has been done in the past influences what we do and we can build off of it. Well, in my case, I don't just stand on the shoulders of these giants. I work with these giants, and they're my friends, and they're helping me become a giant for the generation after me and the generation after them. So I can't thank them enough, and I can't express how incredibly lucky I am for the position that I'm in with the field and who I work with.
Yeah. Well, again, we've got to go to break, but when we come back, I want to talk about you drill down a little bit more on some of the problems that a teenager has and getting not only getting involved in the field, but actually going out into the field and investigating these cases in real time and possibly putting yourself in harm's way, possibly putting yourself to be an experiencer as opposed to an investigator coming in or a researcher coming in after the fact. So when we come back, we'll talk about those things.
Well, there you go. They would call someone like Holland Schneider a precocious kid when I was really young. And it's really pleasing to see the progress he's made in understanding these mysteries. And imagine what he'll accomplish in the next 10, 20, or 30 years. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Here's a shout-out to Audible for supporting the Paracast. You know, for a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial, go to audible.com/paracast. You know, Audible has an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original shows, news, comedy, and lots more. They even feature books from our paranormal corner of the universe, such as the one I'm listening to right now, Fact, Fiction, and Flying Saucers. You know, we had the authors on our show featuring Stan Friedman and Kathleen Marden. Once again, here's that special offer for listeners to the Paracast. Audible is offering a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial. It's easy to download and listen at home or while you're on the road, especially if you're stuck in traffic and need to just chill. You can also listen at the gym, wherever you have the time to give a listen. Just go to audible.com/paracast to sign up and get your free book. audible.com/paracast. It's that easy.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Yesterday, I got a call from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. If you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes, call now for a free and confidential tax debt analysis. Call Coast One now for a free consultation at 800-643-4661 now. 800-643-4661. That's 800-643-4661.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we're looking at a 16-year-old cryptozoologist, Colin Schneider, the Crypto Kid, with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question here from Harry Newton, who's in London, and I'm sure is an avid follower of Jonathan Dow's. He says, "Dear Gene and Chris, I was wondering about the age of Mr. Snyder, whilst it might make me sound like an old curmudgeon, I'm willing to take that risk for a clean conscience anyway. I love cryptozoology, but there is a definite dark side, according to some researchers, and things like gray aliens are considered by some to be cryptids. I think what I'm trying to say is that there are certain aspects of cryptozoology that are grotesque and disturbing in the extreme. He uses the examples of abductions and the mutilation phenomenon, which I think is kind of a little – there's a loose affiliation there. And he says, I personally wouldn't be happy about talking about these aspects with someone who wasn't of age, which I gather to mean either 18 or 21. I'm not sure. So he says, to put that into a question – have you, Colin, had any words of caution or advice regarding the darker side of cryptozoology or the paranormal in general? And then he wants to know what sort of advice we would give you, Gene and myself.
Well, in terms of advice, most of what I've just gotten from the people I work with and the people who have given me advice is just how to interview people without, you know, influencing what they're saying, how to cast a track, you know, how to do proper research, how to write an article, that type of stuff. Well, a lot of the people I work with, while they do investigate the weirder side or the interdimensional phenomenon connected to cryptids, in general, a lot of them don't necessarily think that it's like, they don't think that the men in black are going to come to my house and shake everything down and then abduct me or anything like that. Concerning gray aliens and, like, abductions, even in the UFO field, when I've talked to UFO guys specifically about the fact that I'm just interested in it, I've never really gotten that. I think that he mentioned that he was from London, so I think that at least in America, it's generally looked at. A lot of the researchers haven't had experiences, and they don't think they will. I mean, take Stan Gordon. He's been doing this for, I think, nearly 60 years, and he's never seen a Bigfoot, never seen a UFO, never encountered anything. So this may just be my young arrogance speaking, but I don't think there's a lot of danger from whatever I'm researching. Now, there is, like, poltergeist-type phenomenon, things moving, objects flying off the shelves, those have been reported by other cryptozoologists. And there are some cryptozoologists who have reported men in black encounters, but nothing dangerous. And I'd even be willing to bet 70% of cryptozoologists are of the opinion that what they're researching is just animals. And the use of the term cryptozoology and the use of the term cryptids implies that what they're researching is simply an undiscovered animal.
So they're more afraid of us than we are of them.
Exactly. I mean, they're looked at as animals. While you still get the occasional, there's an interdimensional connection, and people have mentioned that. A lot of the researchers either don't think there is, or the interdimensional connection is just associated with the big ones, the Bigfoots, the Loch Ness monsters, those type of creatures. But when you're looking at lesser known oddities or just be it more normal, if you will, oddities like the possible continued existence of the thylacine, the Tasmanian tiger, there have been no interdimensional connections with that specific creature. And I think that's really what cryptozoology has been always intended to be.
Right. Just, good point. Good point.
Just the examination and search for unknown animals. And unfortunately, while I do think that everything is a possibility and everything should be looked at, I think that it has been kind of hijacked and thrown into this place where werewolves and aliens are looked at as realistic cryptids. And while I think that the dogman phenomenon is a definite possibility, and like I've said before, should be examined. I don't think that they're shape-shifting humans. I think that if there is a dogman, and we're looking at it through the cryptozoological lens specifically, then it would be some kind of evolutionary oddity which led to bipedalism in canines, which is, when you look at the fossil record, completely unparalleled, and we've never seen that before.
That's a bit of a stretch.
But it has been suggested by researchers, and when you're looking at it from a specifically cryptozoological lens, that is something that should be examined. So I think that cryptozoology, like I said, has been hijacked and thrown into these camps with other things. And when you're looking at the Bigfoot phenomenon, if you're looking at it from a cryptozoological perspective, that's the flesh and bones. But if you're looking at it from just a general Freudian perspective, then you get into the weirder things. Yeah. So
let me interrupt a little bit. I think Lauren Coleman would be an example of the more conservative approach, flesh and blood animals, as yet undiscovered officially. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you have Nick Redfern, who is more of a Freudian, who really has more of a sense of someone that thinks that these things are more paranormal in nature. And so, looking at your list of investigators and researchers that have befriended you and are helping you, I think you've done a good job in getting both ends of the spectrum, in a way to come up with your own particular personal view on this.
Yeah, I definitely feel that I've done that. I mean, I have several hundred books on the subject, and everything from Carl Schuker discussing the idea that dinosaurs have survived into modern day, to Chad Arment, who's a little lesser known researcher, but he looks at cryptozoology as a methodology for exploration of science. And I've been reading one of his books, which is absolutely excellent, called Cryptozoology, Science and Speculation. And he, at least from that book's perspective, he's very against the idea of the paranormal aspects. But he does hint at the idea that it could find a place in other fields, just not in the cryptozoological one. No. Because, I mean, when you're saying you're a Freudian researcher, that doesn't mean that you're just a ghost guy or you're just someone else. It's a variety.
Right.
We've got a wide variety of things to bring up with our guest, Colin Schneider. Joining Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now, 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now, 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine, and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayley Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Before Chris goes on, I want to ask a brief question here. Colin, you've been talking a lot about your interaction with adult researchers and how a teenager can manage to do field research. What about your fellow travelers at school? Do you have any friends, peers, who are also interested in these studies?
Well, last year, my freshman year of high school, I tried to start a paranormal club. I had about 15 kids show up the first day, which is really good because we only have about 400 kids in the school. They all kind of sat there, and all they thought the thing would be was sitting there watching, like, ghost hunters. And I wanted to do, like, the main thing I wanted to do for, like, the first meeting was set up a little survey that we could send out to the school and see what people's opinions on the subject were, because statistics are very interesting to me. And no one was interested in doing that. So the next meeting, I had 5 people attending, and the only reason those 5 people attended was because I said cookies would be present. So there's not a lot of interest in it. Because my school is unique, it's a science school. There's also a lot of kids who kind of go, well, that's weird, but good for you. And then there's a lot of kids that say, I don't think that I agree with what he says, but he's been published and I haven't. So this high school is unlike most high schools. So they definitely listen to me a lot more. And I have had kids at lunch come up to me and just ask me, Frank, why I believe in Bigfoot. And I explain to them, I don't believe in Bigfoot. I think that there's a possibility and it should be looked at. I feel like I've said that quite a bit on this. But I don't get just people making fun. I either get utter indifference or people intrigued but not sure where they stand.
Is there a way for you in the city in which you live to reach a wider selection of people your age?
No. I live in the middle of cow country. All of my neighbors are farmers. So There's really no way for me to reach a bigger audience, unfortunately. I have been working with John Downs to set up a youth group within the Center for Fortean Zoology. That has been really difficult because there are only, as far as I know, there are only two teenagers in the group, myself and a person that I know who's also in Ohio, and we've worked together before and we're good friends, named Tyler Houck. And we're the only two kids in that group specifically. Every time I go to conferences, I always keep my eye out for teenagers. I rarely see us. But every time I do, I go up to them, try to talk, try to get this discussion going. And if I feel like they're actually interested in being a researcher as opposed to they were just intrigued and had nothing to do on a Saturday, or they just love ghost hunters and wanted to see what was going on at the conference, I hand them my card, I tell them to keep in touch, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It's closer to 30% they do, 70% they don't. And I think it's honestly just because of our age. I mean, if you were a teenager and you had another teenager just randomly go up to you and say, hey, I'm also interested in the paranormal, would you want to talk to me and hang out? I don't know how I personally would deal with that type of approach, but I keep trying.
This, of course, is apropos of nothing because it's the 1960s. And what we did then, we actually had a newsstand magazine called Flying Saucers, edited and published by a guy named Ray Palmer. And a lot of we young UFO people read this magazine, which had a section called UFO Club News. We post there, and we get letters from people across the country. They used actual snail mail in those days. And over time, I actually met people around the country, fellow travelers. And I guess today you'd have to go on Facebook or Twitter to try to catch up a conversation. Maybe not so much with local people, which might be difficult, but look at people on a national or global level. Have you done that?
I've tried. I mean, there's a kid in Australia that I've emailed before. He's gotten back to me. We haven't been able to keep up a constant discussion or interaction. But the problem is today, because we're so connected, everyone's worried about the creeps on like Facebook contacting kids and whatever. So it's really difficult to get a response when you say, hey, I'm a kid, I'm interested in the same thing you are, let's talk, because people automatically, rightly so, assume that you're just a creep. So it is really difficult. And the way I look at it is, because we're so connected with the world, it's actually harder for teenagers to get connected if they're interested in the same thing.
Wow, that's a really good insight, Tom. That leads to another question. I mean, what can we do as adults who are involved in the field, and me, who is involved with a lot of production companies that produce programming that we see on TV? What can we as adults and producers of programming do to interest and stimulate your generation to get more involved? Because if we don't, this whole subject matter is going to die on the vine.
Right. Well, honestly, I think that the biggest thing, because I don't watch a lot of television. I honestly don't have a lot of time. But I think, honestly, from my experience going to the conferences and talking to people, I think that the field as a whole should really stop treating kids as idiots and treating teenagers as just kids who watch a lot of the whatever show that happens to be related to the subject matter.
Well, present company excluded. I mean, we're having you on the show. So.
Exactly. But and the people I work with excluded as well. But I think a lot of local groups, especially groups that are just in their state or just in their county, and they haven't had as much exposure as the bigger guys, they have a harder time listening to kids and treating them as equal researchers or treating them as young researchers. And what I've noticed is that actually the bigger you are, Nick Redfern is huge. Lauren Coleman, John Downs, all of those guys, they're huge. The bigger you are, the easier you're actually, the easier they're actually approachable, the more they're approachable, because they know what it's like being a beginner in the field, and they know what it's like to look up to people, because Lauren Coleman looked up to Ivan T. Sanderson and Bernard Heuvelmans, and he sent letters back and forth when he was about my age, and they treated him equally then, and they treated him as a researcher then. And so I think that it's something that people that the big guys already do. And the smaller guys, for whatever reason, they don't. They are a bit more, you know, I am a Bigfoot researcher, and you're just a kid who's seen a bunch of Bigfoot shows.
Well, you want to know a little secret? The big name researchers that you've talked about still have a grasp and a connection to that early inspiration as a teenager, as a kid, that compelled them to become the quality researcher that they are today. They've never lost track of that. And it's that connection to that young energy that is so important in this field. And that's why the people that you've described all have that connection, and me included. I still have that connection to that real young, just wide-eyed wonder of, wow, wouldn't this be cool if we could figure this out, you know? I mean, you've got to have that. And I think a lot of your local regional groups, it's more of a social thing. It's more of they get together, and it's kind of their social life because they really don't have lives, to be honest.
Well, they say that about me.
But we know you don't have a life, Gene.
Oh, let me start the ways. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset Program. Our Debt Reset Program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how we can work for you. 800-912-6177. That's 800-912-6177. Again, 800-912-6177.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I was thinking of something really dumb here, and Chris is going to agree it's dumb, and that is, if there are going to be reality shows on there for ghost hunters, cryptozoologists, UFO hunters, why not a young person's reality show? Someone should come up with that.
I think that's a great idea.
Well, you and I
can produce it. I'd love to do it. Where can I sign up?
Cool. Well, how about if I put together a proposal, a pitch, and would you be interested in doing something like that?
Yeah, I definitely would, because I think it's a honestly, I think it's important to have a young face associated with the field, because if you look at, let me use Monster Quest again. Well, if you look at episodes of Monster Quest, because, that's the show I've seen the most, I'd be willing to bet 9 out of 10 people that have been on there are in their the middle age to slightly older, and most of them have beards. Almost all of them have hats, like fedoras or something. And there's less of a young face. It just seems like a gentleman's club if you just watch the shows like Monster Quest.
I understand 16, it's hard to do a beard. Maybe when you're 22 or something and the hair is starting to grow in the face, whatever it is, grow the beard. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, when I was entering high school, my dad said, you have to shave your mustache, because I had a very faint mustache, and I was very proud of it. I said, okay. This was right before summer started. I said, okay, if I can grow a beard by the end of summer, will you let me keep it? And he laughed and said, fine, and I never grew any more facial hair. So I may not have a beard, but I definitely have hats. I collect hats, and I think it's fun, and I think it's definitely part of cryptozoology's image, but I also think that it's important to have younger people, because Ghost Hunters has been doing that quite a bit. They did the Ghost Hunters Academy show, which was kind of cool. They brought a bunch of 20-somethings, and they trained them how to be ghost hunters, and they went on investigations, and each episode they lost someone because they did poorly or whatever. But it was cool, because it was like you were seeing the next generation of researchers doing something. So it kind of built this confidence that, wow, maybe they eventually will find answers. But cryptozoology is still very much this gentleman's club. It's like the explorers clubs from the 50s and 60s, the British men who have hiked up Mount Everest 20-some times. They all stand around with their pipes and tweed jackets discussing their adventures. And that's from a younger kid's perspective who once was an outsider. That's kind of how it seemed. And I hate that. because that's not at all what it is. It's just a bunch of people who love the idea of monsters and want that to be possible.
Maybe they should be also setting up booths at Comic-Cons and such. You're reaching hundreds of thousands of kids who are already into monsters and such in terms of fiction. And there've got to be a lot of those who, if they had this opportunity, might be interested as well.
Well, they do occasionally. I mean, Lauren Coleman does quite a few comic conventions. But the danger of doing that is then you get lots of people who, you know, just still treat it as a fictional thing. And if you're just sitting there looking like a cryptozoologist with, let's say, two books, one about Bigfoot and one about lake monsters, I would be willing to bet a good percentage of the people would just assume they're fiction books, because the only nonfiction you see at comic conventions is like analyses of pop culture or whatever, like discussing why the pop culture is influential. So it's a possibility and it's an idea, but I don't know how helpful that would be. I think that the easiest way to reach people is definitely still television, because everybody watches TV all the time. And I know a lot of kids who say, well, I don't believe in the paranormal, but I watch Ghost Hunters a lot because I find it funny. So even if they don't believe it, or even if they don't think it's possible, you're still reaching a wider audience and lots of kids.
Well, don't forget, Colin, every TV show is there because they think that people will watch it so they can attract advertisers and sell advertising. So everything that you see on TV is entertainment. You know, all the way through all your news programs, now in this day and age. It didn't used to be that way, but in this day and age, anything that comes across that TV is viewed by the producers as entertainment. And it's just gaps between commercials, which are the real focus of broadcasting.
What makes it worse, by the way, is they regard news, Colin, the same way.
Right. I think that's definitely true, but if you look at the two top things when you ask cryptozoologists what got them interested, I can guarantee almost all of them will either say they first read On the Track of Unknown Animals by Bernard Heuvelmans and were astonished, or, and that's definitely the first or second generation of cryptozoologists, or they would say they watched they watched In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy, and that got them interested. So television definitely has this huge influence on people. And even if it's mostly fabricated, or even if it's completely for the commercials, which is completely true, it still has this effect and this influence. And at least personally for me, without that show that most kids my age had never heard of, Monster Quest, if not for that show, I don't think I'd be here talking to you guys right now. I don't think I'd have anything published. I don't think I'd even heard. I would have even heard of any cryptids other than like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster, maybe the Yeti too. So even if it's nothing but entertainment, you still have that even 1% of the audience that says, I wonder if that's true, and then looks into it, you have the next generation of researchers.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good idea that I would like to talk to you after the show a little bit about possibly exploring the potential for a pitch for a show idea that involves younger researchers like yourself. And they're out there. You're not the only one. There's a lot of kids out there that have an interest, but they don't know where to go, and they don't know how. They don't have as much inspiration and nerve as you do to actually, you know, contact Lauren Coleman, to visit the museum in Maine, to contact Nick Redfern or Jonathan Downs. So we'll talk about that later. I want to kind of move on here. We've got a bunch of questions that our listeners are able to post questions at forum.theparacast.com, where our questions are printed out for us to go ahead and ask our guests. And Eric the Red, who I met in Minnesota, he attended the Paradigm Symposium back in 2014, and very, very astute guy. Doesn't post very often, but he asks really good questions. And this is one that I think that you're going to have to deal with all throughout your career. And that is, you know, what do you say to the Bigfoot skeptics who say things like, why don't we have good, unambiguous videos and photos of them? Where are the bodies and the remains? And he says people are thinking that they're either hoaxing or misidentifying bears or men in camouflage suits, you know, ghillie suits, that sort of thing. What do you say to people that just dismiss the entire thing with those types of explanations?
Well, the first thing I say is I make sure they understand that I don't wholeheartedly believe in Bigfoot. The only thing that I believe in is I believe that there is a possibility of Bigfoot, and I believe that whatever is going on should be looked into. And after that, I'd start addressing some things that they're skeptical of. The difficulty with getting a video or a picture of them. Well, think about most Bigfoot encounters. They happen, they're fleeting. They're maybe 10 seconds long. That's not enough time if you're seeing something that's just out of this world weird for your brain to register to pull out your phone and snap a picture. But even then, most of them are in the middle of the woods, and I know a lot of hikers who don't bring their smartphones when they're going out into the woods because they don't want them lost, they don't want them damaged.
Let's go into more of this in a moment.
Alan
Schneider and Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.